But first, this is a story that the mainstream media have, for the most part, ignored for whatever reason. What I'm about to tell you is based on the work of NDP leader John Horgan and a number of intelligent bloggers, particularly Merv Addy, Lila Yule, and former school trustee Rima Ferris. I have taken this information from Merv Addy's website, BC Veritas, and synthesized it for the listening audience. The credit for keeping this story alive goes to Merv. It's a story about the premier, $150,000 in tax dollars, a visit to Haida Gwaii, and a wind farm proposal involving her brother, Bruce Clark. It came to light last December in a column by Globe and Mail with the headline, "Christy Clark Accused of Interfering in Local Band Election to Aid Brother's Deal." It was a story by Mark Hume. Here's the gist of it. On November 26th of last year, the premier flew to Old Masset on the north end of Haida Gwaii to announce that the province was making a $150,000 grant to the Old Masset Village Council. The money was for a feasibility study of a proposed $4 million expansion to the 40-student elementary school on the reserve. It all sounds innocent so far, but here's where it gets murky. The person lobbying the government for a contribution, Chief Ken Ray, was also working on behalf of a deal with Christy Clark's brother on a partnership with the village council on a $10 million wind farm project. Allegations were made that the $150,000 school contribution helped Chief Ray win re-election to council and thereby assisted Bruce Clark in his business ambitions. During extensive questioning on this issue in the legislature, NDP leader John Horgan revealed that in a Freedom of Information request to the Ministry of Education, the opposition learned that the ministry has never, let me repeat that, never provided funding directly for on-reserve schools. So why did the premier make a special trip to Haida Gwaii to present a $150,000 check? Having worked in the premier's office, this was a most unusual event for a premier to take part in. She can talk all she wants about building relationships with First Nations, and nobody has an argument with that. But there are other questions that remain unanswered. As John Horgan asked, BC has 12 on-reserve schools that are considered to be in poor or worse condition than the only school in British Columbia that has received a grant from the premier via a visit in a private jet, costing taxpayers more than $8,000. Here are some other unanswered questions. Chief Ken Ray is quoted as saying he contacted officials within the Ministry of Education regarding the grant. Premier Clark said Chief Ken Ray made the request directly to me. One of them is wrong. Who do you believe? When tax dollars are handed out and the premier's statement is at odds with that of the recipient, then there's certainly a red flag for the media to start digging into this to find out the truth. After all, isn't that what journalism is about, holding the government's feet to the fire and finding out the truth? But sadly, most of the mainstream media have ignored it. When Mark Hume of the Globe and Mail broke the story, Ben Chin, the premier's executive director of communications and issues management, said the work on the feasibility grant had been going on for over a year. If that's the case, why did the premier's brother need to give Ken Ray a number for someone in the education ministry? If they had been working on it for a year, why did the premier tell the opposition leader John Horgan in the legislature last month that a meeting with the chiefs in September of last year was the possible genesis of the grant? In response to a Freedom of Information request, why was there no record of a request for the $150,000 grant? As the leader of the opposition stated when questioning the premier on this matter, if a minister is asked to do something, he will advise the deputy minister and materials will be created. Yet when we asked for information about this policy change, no responsive records is what we got back. Why did Clark personally travel to Old Masset in the midst of Ken Ray's election to dole out $150,000? As mentioned at the outset, this grant was for a feasibility study for a school expansion. But lo and behold, in February of this year, the federal government announced support for 9 innovative projects to build First Nations schools. One of the recipients was the Old Masset Village Council. Does that mean the feasibility study that was funded by the provincial government was not needed? And has the study been done? The bottom line in this issue is that it doesn't pass what broadcaster Rafe Mayer would describe as the smell test. Something stinks here. The premier flying to Haida Gwaii during a controversial election campaign to hand over $150,000, something that's never been done before, that has the appearance of benefiting the eventual winner in the council race, who is a supporter of a wind farm proposal her brother is involved in. Her statement of the origin of the discussion conflicts with that of the recipient. Too many unanswered questions. And just to clarify, this is not about being critical of assisting First Nations. They deserve far more support and assistance to bring many of them out of the troublesome economic circumstance they face. This is not what this is about. This is about a premier who has failed to provide clear answers as to why she handed over the grant that has the appearance of aiding a business deal of her brother. The grant has never been done before. There was no paper trail in the ministry explaining the change in policy for on-reserve schools, which are a federal responsibility. This also raises questions about the role of the media and its lack of vigilance in holding government to account. Why has this story been virtually ignored? The public is best served when our political leaders are held to account for their actions, and lately we aren't seeing that in British Columbia. As tough questions, keep digging for answers. Don't accept the word of some PR flack in a ministry or the Premier's office. They aren't bad people, but their job is to protect the interests of the person they work for. When that occurs, the truth at times gets lost. And my thanks to Merv Addy for keeping this issue alive and fighting for the truth.